BBC News with David Austin. With hours to go before polls open in a referendum on independence, the leader of the Scottish National Party has called the campaign the greatest democratic experience in the history of his country, and one which has already changed Scotland. First Minister Alex Salmond insisted his side were the underdogs, but urged his supporters to campaign tirelessly to secure a yes vote.
This is the greatest democratic experience in the history of Scotland. You've already made Scotland a much better place as a result of that campaign, and as First Minister, I thank each and every one of you.
The former Labour Prime Minister Gordon Brown spoke in front of cheering crowds in Glasgow, explaining why he thought Scots should embrace the Union.
Those people who've been told unfairly by the Nationalists that if you vote no, you're a less than patriotic Scot, tell them this is our Scotland. Tell them that Scotland does not belong to the SNP. Scotland does not belong to the Yes campaign. Scotland does not belong to any politician, Mr. Salmond, Mr. Swinney, me or any other politician. Scotland belongs to all of us.
Three separate polls have given opponents of independence a narrow 4-point lead, but indicate that between 8 and 14% of voters are still undecided. Gunmen have stormed a teacher training institute in the city of Kano in northern Nigeria. At least 13 people are reported to have been killed and more than 30 others injured at the Federal College of Education. Richard Hamilton reports.
At least 10 gunmen opened fire on students around the campus in what appeared to be a well-organized attack. Trainee teachers were seen fleeing from the college. It's not been confirmed who is behind this incident, but the suspicion will fall on the Islamist militant group Boko Haram, which means Western education is forbidden. It's carried out similar raids in Kano as well as other parts of northern Nigeria. In July, the city suffered a spate of 5 attacks in just 4 days, one of which also targeted a college, killing 6 people.
The World Bank has warned that the Ebola outbreak could have a catastrophic impact on the economies of Guinea, Liberia and Sierra Leone. Andrew Walker has this report.
The World Bank says that the economic impact could be close to 12% of national income next year for Liberia, 9% in Sierra Leone and a still very substantial 2.3% in Guinea. That's if the disease is not effectively contained. Even if it is, all three countries will be hit, though less severely. The main economic impact, the bank says, is from behaviour driven by fear of infection, such as the closure of workplaces and disruption of transport systems. The bank calls for international help, including financial assistance and support for health services.
World News from the BBC. The United States Federal Reserve has announced a further reduction in its policy of quantitative easing, or buying financial assets with newly created money. The cut reflects the strength of the U.S. economy and favorable job data. President Obama has said he will not commit U.S. ground troops to fight another war in Iraq. Speaking at U.S. Central Command in Florida, Mr. Obama said America would instead help Iraqis to stand up for themselves in the fight against Islamic State.
We cannot do for the Iraqis what they must do for themselves. We can't take the place of Arab partners in securing their own region. This is an effort that calls on America's unique abilities and responsibilities to lead. In a world that's more crowded and more connected, it is America that has the unique capability to mobilize against an organization like ISIL.
Ukraine's Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk has told a cabinet meeting that 1 million civil servants will be screened for loyalty under a new law which aims to root out corrupt practices. The government blames the previous administration under the ousted president Viktor Yanukovych for fostering corruption and serving Russia's interests. The screening will apply, among others, to the employees of the Interior Ministry, the Intelligence Services and the Prosecutor's Office. A study published in the journal Nature reveals the ancestry of Europeans can be traced back to hunter-gatherers from Africa, farmers from the Middle East and a mysterious ancient tribe from Siberia. The study reveals that the African hunter-gatherers, with a striking combination of blue eyes and dark skin, were among the first to enter Europe. About 8,000 years ago, they encountered a group of new arrivals, pale-skinned and brown-eyed farmers from the Middle East. The third group to come to Europe was a mysterious tribe from Siberia. And those are the latest stories from BBC News.